Hey, this is Travis Curry, and you're listening to Not Religious Podcast.
Hello, America.
The proud,
the few,
the scared.
This is the Not Religious Podcast. We're back for another exciting and spooky episode today. I always address America. I don't know if there's people around the country that are listening to us yet.
There are. What do you know? There are
around the world.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we know we're national. I don't know if we're global yet. It doesn't show that on the analytics.
We'll have to. Oh, it doesn't show.
No, it doesn't show countries.
I'm sure we are. It's just
when I pull up the analytics, it shows like what regions of the country that we're in. We're big in the Southeast. We're big in the Midwest and
France.
Just California.
Oh.
Just California.
A straight shot.
Yeah, Texas hadn't really. There's a couple, like 30 or 40, that have listened to us in Texas, but the Southeast, the Midwest, and California, hundreds, you know. So.
Well, hello. Yeah. You people, it's nice to see you.
Yes.
So, Brian, excuse me. We want to talk about ghosts, and you know.
Right.
I had an experience at work yesterday, and I thought it was going to be a cool transition into this topic today.
Okay.
That pepper that I ate at work.
Tell us about the pepper.
So.
Because of the name.
I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I don't think it's called a ghost pepper, though.
Is it not?
I don't think so.
What's it called?
It's called the Carolina Reaper.
Oh, the Reaper.
Well, Reaper. Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah,
that works.
Reaper.
Okay, cool. Well, I didn't fear the Carolina Reaper, and I ate it. The whole thing, just left the stem, seeds and all. And it was pretty dang hot.
Let me ask you something. Like, right before you eat that, is there a moment where you're like, I'm not going to do this?
No, I was pretty confident in it. I knew it was going to be bad.
Have you eaten peppers before like that?
Not like that, no.
Okay.
I did a hot sauce challenge with Travis.
Okay.
And Robert at the beach a few years ago.
A few weeks ago. Okay.
And that was actually worse.
Yeah.
It was because it lasted longer.
Yeah.
It was like 45 minutes of pure agony.
Yeah.
This was maybe 20 at the most.
So when I was in my 20s, and before I realized that I can't drink because that's bad for me to do.
Yeah.
And I would go to Brewers when it was over by Chuck E. Cheese, and Scott Eastep actually ran it. Scott kept something behind the bar, like the secret hot sauce. Him and his brother Drew Bird. His nickname's Bird.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I thought you saw a bird in here or something.
No, bird in here.
Is there a bird?
And he would take a toothpick or a straw. And just like dip it in there and then let you put it, you know, take it, and touch it to your tongue or whatever. And I can handle a lot of hot things. That thing, I couldn't do it and last. Because I think with hot sauces, like you can concoct, like you can add all kinds of different things. A pepper's a pepper.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's why it didn't have a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
It was just like I
Pepper's
was chewing.
A pepper.
Yeah. It was like I was chewing like a piece of plastic or something.
Yeah.
And it didn't taste good. But even like regular jalapenos don't have a whole lot of flavor to them. It's the pickled ones that taste better.
Right. So, pickled.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I like a pickled jalapeno rather than a fresh jalapeno.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like with the, like even with the pickling, you can add things to the pickling juice.
Make it taste a little better.
Yeah. my mouth is watering talking about this. I don't know why.
Right. And it's not. And everyone was like, "You won't want to eat hot stuff for a while." I was like, "I'm good, man."
It's like I can go to Leo's tonight.
Yeah, I like hot sauce on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I have a bag of really spicy pork rinds in my drawer at work right now. So, but I thought that would be a cool, like, you know, we're talking about ghosts this week. And I ate a ghost pepper and I was like, oh, cool. And then I was bummed out because that's not what it's called. But it actually works for the Reaper. And I can assure you, it was just as spicy coming out as it was going in.
Did your anus burn?
Like you wouldn't believe. I was at work.
Once it liquefied.
Oh, it's God. Bad. I was at work and I was writing an estimate for a customer. For those of you who don't know, I work at a body shop. Was writing an estimate for a customer.
Why'd you do it at work?
Well, I did the challenge after work.
Okay.
But this was this morning when it
hit me. Okay.
Okay. So I'm writing the estimate and I was like, and it wasn't even a big estimate. It was a very, very small one. It shouldn't have taken me any time to write it. And I had to excuse myself. went to the bathroom and was pouring sweat. It was it was so bad. And I walked out of the bathroom and Chuck, one of my coworkers who grew the pepper for me.
Okay.
Just sat back and in his chair and laughed at me.
I bet. Such satisfaction.
But it was intense. I had a milkshake ready to go.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that milk is good for the soothing. You know, water just makes it worse because it just yeah, sloshes it all over the place. So,
yeah, but depending on where you got the milkshake from,
there
might not be milk in that. It might just be like powdered dairy.
That's true. Stuff. And this was Cookout, so it. Well, no, they're pretty known for their
cookouts
for their milkshakes. Cookouts, maybe it's legit. I don't know. If you work for Cookout or you have some insight on that, you know, let me know because I mean it worked pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's before we do, Brian, do you have your cold brew?
I do.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking actually frozen cold brew.
Like, is it like a slushy?
It's like a Frappuccino, but it's made from cold brew instead of coffee.
How did you get that?
McDonald's.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe they can sponsor the show.
Yeah, so there's no ice. So it's like I'm drinking a milkshake.
Mine's full of ice.
You
ever listen to podcasts and they have beer recommendations like while they're drinking and they're talking about it and stuff. Yeah. I was like,
or food recommendations.
Yeah.
Food.
I've got tonight I'm enjoying a nice organic cold brew coffee made by Barissimo.
Organic. God, you're such a bro.
And it's mixed with Khalifa Farms unsweetened almond milk.
Like, take out your granola bar, put on your Birkenstocks. And go,
I don't own
and
a
go,
pair of Birkenstocks.
Go pick
I can
up
guarantee
some,
you that.
Go pick up some plastic from the lake because you're killing all the fish, you freaking hippie.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah. So Brian, the question that we posted for the poll on our Facebook page, I think it confused some people. Sorry. What we were intending with that was, do you believe that in the realm of Christianity, is there room for ghosts? And, you know, obviously you have the Holy Ghost. That's not what we mean.
No.
We're also, you know, you can't say that you don't believe in the supernatural because
you believe in God.
You believe in God. So, this is more like, do you believe that after someone has died, that their spirit can come back to visit you, whether it's just checking in, maybe being almost like a guardian angel of sorts,
yeah,
or just coming back to haunt you?
And this is where I think a lot of people's upbringing that plays a big factor here, because if you were, you know, raised, very deep South, you know, Grammy, you know, went to church and Grammy went to church and granddaddy was a, you know, snake handler, you know, whatever, however you want to draw your roots. But if you're raised in the deep South, you have some of this misconception. I won't call it ignorance yet. I'll call it misconception. Misconception of what heaven is, what happens to you when you die, what is what your soul actually is, what heaven actually is. You know, so there's just a lot of things that tradition has kind of mixed in with biblical knowledge. So if you've listened to us long enough, you probably heard us joke about, you know, people, Christians, who think when you die or when their aunt dies or their grandmother dies, they'll post something on Facebook like, oh, you know, Aunt Bessie got her wings and is, you know, looking down on me from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous, you know, and it's not biblical at all. But, you know, there's people out there who truly believe that. There's people out there who believe that, you know, as soon as you die, you're going to be taken to the streets of gold in heaven. And the streets of gold don't even exist yet.
Right.
Like, that's not even a thing yet, you know, but they...
The pearly gates.
Right. So there's a lot of things that are misconstrued biblically. So I think it... And I don't want to use the word ignorance, because I don't think that... I think if grandma tells you something and mama tells you something, then that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, shame on you for not trying to find out the truth for yourself and critically think yourself and question your faith and question what you believe in so that you can come to some sort of personal theology. I think that's important for every person, every Christian to do. But when you have such a blanket population of the people who just are uninformed and just don't know what these things are and where they come from and that sort of thing, you know, so I think there's a large majority of people who do believe.
Yeah.
They just don't know what the crap they believe in.
Right. Well, the poll that we posted asking that, 62% of those who voted believe that, yes, 100%, I believe in ghosts. I believe that can happen. With 38% being the non-believers, you know, once you're dead.
You're dead.
You're dead. We're not going to hear from you anymore.
Yeah.
So thank you again for everyone who voted. Let's dive into that.
Yeah, so... you know, in the Bible, there's a few, and our friend Dave Langer touched on a specific instance in the Bible. But in the Bible, there are things that touch on the supernatural. There are things that talk about the spiritual realm. And I encourage every listener to go and read those passages and try to interpret that and come up with your own thought process on it. But as far as I'm concerned, how I feel, and this is, you know, me, which I'm telling you how to think, basically. You know, so listen to every word I say.
Of course.
Of course. I think what that is demons or evil spirits. Now, the demons and evil spirits, they know what human form is. They know what humans look like. They know what they sound like. They know what they talk. How they talk, their mannerisms or whatever. I believe it's the devil's plan. And you know, this goes back to Genesis. You know, what does Satan tell Adam? Satan tells Adam, because God tells Adam, don't eat the fruit of the tree, for you'll surely die. You know, and what's the first thing Satan comes and tells him? Don't listen to him. You're not going to die. If you eat this, you won't die. So I think it's Satan's plan from the beginning to try to convince us that we can live after death if we go against God, or if we don't have to listen to God, that this isn't our final chapter, that there is this spirit world where, you know, we can have the knowledge of God, or something like that. So I think the devil, I think demons, I think evil spirits, whatever you want to call them, they play on that. So the intention is to separate a person from their belief in God's promise. So by coming back as Aunt Bessie and emulating this, you know, sweet old lady that has been there all your life or whatever, you're now starting to believe in life after death, a physical life, a life where your body can exist and your personality can exist here on earth directly after death. And that's not biblical at all. Hmm. You know, God warns us about these things. You know, in the Bible, it tells us that when someone dies, they are dead. Their thoughts, their emotions are dead. Dead. Gone.
Right.
So I definitely think it's a trick of the evilness of Satan, of demons, whatever, to try to play on someone. That's where I see, you know, people who say, I saw my granddaddy walking down the stairs. That's not your granddaddy.
Yeah.
Like, get out the house.
Yeah.
Like, stop trying to play pinochle with granddaddy every night. You know? Yeah. But you know, you have people going to, like, fortune tellers, and, you know, there's people on Broad Street in our city. It's like a psychic where you're... people want to go and have that last conversation with their loved one. And that's just not that. That's no, you don't want to mess with that, man, yeah. Because you're not talking to your loved one. Your loved one is not communicating with you, nor can they communicate with you, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I come from on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to think, because you hear, I listen to some paranormal podcasts, and there's one in particular.
Wait, called, are they hosted by ghosts?
I wish.
Okay.
That would be cool. This is the one that I like the best regarding that. It's called Real Ghost Stories Online.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it is cool. So what it is people will call in with their own personal ghost stories or email in, you know, whatever, and they'll just read it. But it is insane the amount of people that, and they have episodes, they've been out for years, and they put out, you know, maybe 3 or 4 episodes a week.
Whoa.
And it's always 3 or 4 like stories. There's a lot of people who have experiences, and then there's people who call in multiple times with an experience, and they'll tag the end of their story. Be like, I've got a few more for you, you know?
Right.
And
see, and that's what's crazy is, like, I know what it is,
yeah,
and that's evil stuff, but I'm so interested,
yeah,
in it.
Oh, yeah,
like it's so intriguing. It piques my interest, and it shouldn't, and I should run for the hills. And I know that, know that this is evil from my own experiences, you know, I know that this is not good stuff, but it's so dang interesting, man, and sinful, whatever you want to call it. I don't recommend anyone, you know, listen to scary or ghost podcasts. I don't recommend anyone, but it's so dang cool.
Yes, it is.
God, it's so cool.
Yes, it is. What's cool a lot of times with those stories, too, is it's they'll have instances where it's an evil-type encounter, and it makes them uneasy, and it freaks them out, and they'll tell that.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are pleasant experiences. It's a loved one who has passed on that kind of returns for a few nights or something just to check in on the baby.
No!
And they always talk about, it's just so nice because it's, you know, it's almost like the last little goodbye because we didn't have a proper goodbye before they passed or whatever it may be.
And what they're doing is, that's demons driving a wedge.
Run.
Right. Between you and God and what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool.
Yes, it is. I think whenever people talk about, you know, my so-and-so passed on a few years ago, but they come to visit me.
What? No. Get out of the house.
Well, sometimes they'll say things like, they'll visit me in my dreams.
Yeah.
And dreams are, that's a whole other topic in general. Yeah, our dreams are just so crazy in general.
Right.
But I wouldn't, I think as far as a pleasant experience with a quote-unquote ghost, I wouldn't put it past God to have something like that with some, you know what I mean? Someone who might be dealing with a very difficult loss, right? And some type of comfort, you know what I mean?
No.
Not saying God's going to send that soul to come visit you.
But he can put that in someone's mind.
In your head. Like, you know, people have night terrors, you know?
I see what you're saying.
So they
kind of like a dream,
right? And they're kind of like having a dream, but it's, or they start hallucinating,
a subconscious
thought
or whatever that God's implanting in them,
right? Because there's people that swear up and down that they saw a ghost. Yeah. I saw a ghost in my house, and it was the ghost of who owned the house hundreds of years ago and died in the house. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wouldn't put it past God to have you encounter something like that. Not in a possession type way. I mean, almost like a dream and you realize you were dreaming.
I can see it as a dream thing. Yeah. I can't see God doing that. Like you're walking through the kitchen and then you see a Civil War soldier standing in the kitchen.
No, that's not
like, right. I don't, that's not God.
Right.
But I can see like how you said with the comfort thing, like, giving you that dream, and it might not even be that. Just again, that could just run. You know, the brain is such a complex, you know, thing.
Well, I've had dreams about my dad before, and it was a relief waking up. There was a comfort that came with it,
right?
That I got to talk to him again. And it was dreams where, you know, it's hey, I'm okay. Everything's fine.
I'm standing on my cloud and running down the streets of gold.
Right. Crossing over the rainbow bridge. but I knew it was a dream. And then like, as soon as you wake up, you know, it's a dream, but, you told me you have
an
experience.
I have two experiences.
You have two experiences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
I want to hear this.
All right. So I'll do the most recent one first. So when Lee and I were dating and living in sin, I had a house on Hampton Street, downtown Sumter, which is historic.
The
area.
Spookiest place.
Right. So, like, the house we lived in was like an 1800s house. Me and three other dudes. It was a two-story, like, Victorian type house or whatever. Each of our bedrooms were the size of a living room. We each had a fireplace in our bedrooms. So, it was just like this old colonial type house, right? So, Lee would come over and stay the night. And so, in my room, I had an entertainment center with a television and I had a recliner and a chair, you know. So we were laying there one night about to go to sleep and the TV cuts on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. You know, whatever. But the remote was on the side table. I was like, oh, well, maybe someone else's remote in the house, you know. Triggered
all logic,
you know, right? You know how I am. I'm like, someone, all right. So my buddy Vic upstairs has the exact same TV I have, maybe his, you know, remote, this, that, and the other. So I reach over, grab the remote, turn television off, you know, it goes dark, whatever. TV cuts back on, and then the recliner in the room just starts rocking back and forth. Like someone sitting in the recliner watching television. Right? So, first of all, let me say this house, like you couldn't walk through this house without knowing you were walking through the house. So it's not like someone snuck into my room, the old creaky floors and everything. Yeah, I would know if someone. Yeah. We turn on the lights. No one's in the room. It freaked us out to the point to where we didn't stay there again. We stayed at her apartment. Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
Out.
Okay. We gone. I still paid rent.
Right? I just wasn't there.
Yeah, I just wasn't there. I was like, man, not happening. So that's the most recent one. My first ever kind of weird experience. Oh, boy. So I'm in high school, and I was on the newspaper staff. So I was the production editor. So what I did is
I never knew this about you.
Yeah. So people would write the stories. I would take the stories and then lay them through a computer program and designed the actual newspaper, how it looked, where the stories, where the copy was, where the pictures was, stuff like that.
Right.
So that was my job. I was actually in charge of the people who did it. And I did it too. But anyway, so being the production editor, all the editors from the school newspaper, we went on a journalism, we entered a contest in Missouri, Kansas City, and it was like this national contest. We were finalists. We get sent. We go out to Missouri. Okay. So we're there. The group of people that I'm with, it's high school. It's a mix of people, you know, it's misfits and jocks, and it's kind of like the Breakfast Club, but for newspaper nerds, I guess. So this one dude, his name was Christopher. Christopher was like straight up atheist, like grunge, you know, into anime.
Nine inch nails.
Right. Wore trench coats and painted fingernails or whatever. He brought a Ouija board. And we started playing with the Ouija board.
Nope.
Right? I didn't know. I mean, you can buy these things at Toys R Us.
That's so crazy.
Right?
Maybe that's why they're out of business now.
Probably. But yeah, so we started playing with the Ouija board and just strange things started happening. And we continued to play with the Ouija board. So we were there for 5 nights. So by the 4th night, we were addicted to the Ouija board. We'd go to the conference and then, you know, when that was over in the evening, we'd go eat, and then we'd go straight back to Chris's hotel room, him and his roommate, and we'd start playing with the Ouija board. To the point of, he had, you remember the Animaniacs?
Yeah.
Okay. So he had, he purchased this wacko, doll, okay? And in the hotel room, if you can picture it, it's two queen beds. The bed on the left, nothing is on that bed. Okay, there's a coat, there's a book bag, and at the foot of the bed, there's the wacko doll. Okay, on the other bed, there's 8 of us sitting on that bed playing the Ouija board. And it starts getting creepier and creepier and creepier. So we're asking it questions, the phone rings. Oh, that was just creepy there. The phone rings, and it rings twice. It's like ring, 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 which means there's a inside the hotel, someone is calling you, right? But we're all in, all 8 of us are in our room there. Mm-hmm. No one knows us, except for our chaperone, our teacher. And he's in the room next to us, and, you know, he's a complete straight-laced kind of guy. He's not going to prank call us. Homegirl, her name was Allison. She picks up the phone, hello, and they ask for Chris. Mm-hmm. Christopher. Gives the phone to Christopher and tells Christopher, you're going to die.
Oh, my God.
Oh, right? No. So hang up the phone. We all get scared or whatever. Girls run out of the room. They go to their rooms, whatever. About a half hour goes by. We all congregate back into Chris's room, and we're like, let's do it again. let's do it again.
Let's open this door one more time.
Right, so we get on the Ouija board. We're asking it questions and everything. And
did you ask it who called?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said, I called. Oh, right. Crap. Now, listen, we're like, where are you? And he said, here. Right? And I saw this with my own eyes.
Okay.
Okay. When I'm getting you, I mean, I see. Have chills. I saw this with my own eyes. When it said here, and it spelled out here or whatever.
Yeah.
On that other bed, that wacko doll sat up.
Oh, no.
Turned and looked at us and then fell off the bed.
Oh, my God.
Right?
That is crazy.
Pure panic.
Yeah. I bet so.
We called the cops.
Really?
Cops came. What'd they say? They bunch of kids just messing around. Okay. Our chaperone, our teacher, was like, man, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, this, that, and the other. And so his suggestion is take that thing outside and burn it. So we did.
Yeah.
We took it outside. We lit it on fire, threw it in the dumpster. It burned.
Okay. I thought for sure you were going to say it didn't even.
No, it burned. Okay. No, it burned. Right. It straight up burned. Okay. We burned the wacko doll, too. The thing that sat up and looked at us.
I thought that's what you meant, to that thing outside.
Yeah, take that and the Ouija board.
Okay.
Yeah, we took those things out and burned them.
Okay.
So we get back to South Carolina, and we got back on a Saturday. Sunday goes by. Monday comes, and our first class of the day was journalism. Mm-hmm. So that's our first class. And we go in, and our instructor, our teacher, the guy who went with us, our chaperone, calls us into his office. And he says, man, my voice is quivering just talking about it. He says, you guys aren't to speak a word of this to anyone.
And here you are.
And here I am. No, at the time in the school or whatever, he said, when I got home, my bookshelf that I have in my apartment that's fastened to studs or whatever was laying on the floor. He said he had a porcelain Elvis statue, very frail, fragile, on the floor, not busted. He had some of those eggs, Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
They weren't the expensive ones, but Fabergé eggs or whatever that his mom had given him on the floor. Mm. Not busted. So the only book that was damaged was the Bible.
Whoa.
And it had been torn almost completely in half.
Good Lord.
Okay. So, oh God.
That's like the phone book challenge, though.
Right.
Like, that's not easy.
It's not an easy thing to do. So he gets home. Whatever, he cleans it up. He's kind of freaked out. He takes his dog out to the dog park, walking around. This man comes up to him out of nowhere, and he says, you need to pray. They're attacking you. Hmm. Turns and walks away.
Whoa.
So homeboy, he was a Catholic guy, you know, of course, goes to the Catholic Church and is like, exorcise me, you know, get the demons off me, whatever.
I'm gonna take a bath in that holy water.
So he's telling us this, and he's like, guys, if you don't believe in God, I suggest you start and you pray. The outcome of the story is Christopher, the dude who started all this, brought the Ouija board, atheist, whatever, gave his life to God.
Whoa.
In that teacher's office that day. That's how freaked out he was.
What a testimony.
What a testimony, right?
What a testimony.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's my story.
That is crazy.
I could probably go into greater details about, you know, the ins and outs of what all was happening to us in that hotel room. There was a lot of freaky things that were happening. I just kind of glazed over it. But, yeah, that was my experience with it. That's why I think...
Yeah. It's an evil thing.
Anything dealing with the supernatural outside of God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is evil.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from with that.
I don't have a good ghost story. I did think of one instance whenever I was probably 20.
I knew you then. Okay.
You knew me.
All right.
You knew me. I was about 20. I've been out of high school a few years, but people that I grew up with and graduated with and stuff, we all had this great idea. We heard about a old church in Hartsville.
Yeah.
I forgot the name of it. It wasn't even in Hartsville. It was like outside of Hartsville, so it took a while to even get there.
Right.
But we had this plan to go out there. They said that if you park in a certain spot, like right beside the graveyard, right?
Yeah.
And you shine your lights on the side of the church. In one of the windows, you can, if you do it like three times, something like that, you can see the figure of a ghost of someone that had died in the church, of like a kid who had died in the church or something. I wouldn't say that I saw the kid because it's dark and there's a lot of things that can, you know, play tricks.
Definitely, if you're going expecting your adrenaline's going, you think you're going to see something.
Right.
You're around people who are expecting the same thing. Yeah, I could see your mind playing tricks on you.
So, but what I told my friend Wesley that I went out there with, we went out there with our friends, Nicole and Lindsay, I told Wesley, I said, what do we do if nothing happens?
Sounds like you guys were just trying to make out with these girls.
No, we weren't.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, weren't.
Okay.
Honestly, weren't. We went out there.
Hey, babe, let's go to this graveyard in the dark.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. We had intentions of scaring them, though. Like, we talked about it before, and we said, what happens... we don't see anything. Like, that's a wasted trip.
Right.
You know, that's a long drive. You know, like, I worked at a pizza place, so you can only imagine how much dough I had in my, no pun intended, in my pockets. I was like, man, I don't know if I can afford the gas to go out there. I drove a 97 Blazer.
Yeah.
That's not the most fuel efficient vehicle on the market, but, so we had the idea of telling our friend Jeffrey to go out there to meet us out there. Not meet up with us all at the same time, but we had a plan
to scare them.
So we told him the story about, we looked up something on Google. On this road here, there was an old man that always smoked a pipe or something like that. And he had like killed a bunch of people that were like trespassing.
Yeah,
on his lawn.
Get off my grass!
Right,
right.
But once he died, his spirit like haunted the area.
Gotcha.
Or whatever.
Gotcha.
So we had this idea, and we said, if you go out here and you take a lighter, right, and you flick it three times. And then place it on the hood of the car, and you have to walk a certain... Right, it was
so
weird. It was so complicated.
Right.
But we were like, okay...
The spirit... you didn't put it on the right spot of the hood.
Right. Well, you flick it, and you put it... You place it on the hood, and you have to walk a certain distance, and then...
Do the truffle shuffle.
You can, yeah. Well, we told him if you do it, and you go back, and you look, you can actually see the lighter.
Oh.
Lift off the hood, and
it'll
light. You didn't have to light it every single time; just spark it three times.
Gotcha.
Okay, so We told Jeffrey, we said, hang out over here. We're going to flick the lighter three times. We're going to walk away. He wore super dark clothing.
That's your
cue.
And
I'm telling you, it could not have been more perfect.
Yeah.
You couldn't see him walking. It was so dark out there.
Yeah.
But we saw the lighter actually turn on. They start freaking out. And we told him, after you do it, just run towards us. Just come for us.
Right.
And so he did. And he grabbed Wesley, okay? Mm. And me and Nicole and Lindsay took off running. Well, Wesley goes back up into the woods with Jeffrey and just kept screaming and stuff like that. And I was like, we got to go right now.
What a friend.
I know. I was like, he's done.
He's dead.
They were like, where did he go? I said, I don't care. We got to get out of here. This is going to be bad. So we all get in the car and we like drive off and I drive down the road and that's when I finally was like, I'm just kidding. Because Jeffrey came back out.
Oh, I bet they hated you.
Oh yeah, it was bad. They were super mad. but that was the closest thing to a ghostly experience that I ever had.
Yeah.
But what I told you before we started, do you remember when Avery was... what age would she have been if she was still in, like a crib, but standing?
Okay, yeah. So
would they be like one or something?
Yeah, anywhere from 1 to probably 18 okay. months.
So she, oh Lord, I hate the months thing. If you're one, then you're one until you're two. And that's just for me.
Probably about 19 and three quarter months.
I hate it so much. When you, and I can't remember if it was you that told me or Lee that told me, but there was an instance where when Avery was really little, you know, the thing my dad used to do with his fingers like this, where he flipped it to the side. I can't describe it very well.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Had a little hand gesture that
right,
he would
had
do.
A little hand gesture he did to everything, and he would say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to kids a lot.
Right.
And, you know, he taught Alec to do it when Alec was a baby.
Right, I remember
But my dad, for those of you who don't know, passed away before Avery was born.
Lee was pregnant,
right.
Yeah.
One of you told me that there was an instance where Avery was standing up.
It would have been Lee.
Okay.
I told you this.
Standing up in the crib and was by herself. And Lee, like, looked in on her. And it was like she was looking at the wall or something and was doing her hand like that and saying, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah. That must have been Lee that told me then.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. And now that you just told me that, I see why people find it so easy to think that that's their loved one coming back and talking. Mm-hmm. Because for a split second there, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if that was Timmy.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was him. Mm-hmm. And then I brought myself back to reality and said, no. Run from it.
Yep.
Run from it.
But you hear stories a lot of times about, you know, kids.
Kids, definitely.
Talking about, I saw so-and-so, and it was a past grandparent or
I'm sorry, man. I don't care.
Like
to me, it's evil. And until God himself tells me otherwise, from what I read from the Bible.
Yeah.
And my own personal experience.
Yeah.
That junk's evil.
Yeah.
It is evil. It exists. It's real. It's evil. These idiots that go out on these shows with all these electronic, you know, ghost finding things, thinking they're, you know, pulling up Civil War heroes and, you know, old, you know, school teachers. No, those are demons. Run. Why are you doing that? But I'll watch those shows in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I don't
absolutely
know why.
Love it. Would you?
That
would
goes
you,
to our sinful nature, you
who,
know?
Who is it? Is it, who's the celebrity that started doing that with his kids?
Rob Lowe. Right.
Would you go out with Rob Lowe?
In a heartbeat.
Right?
In a heartbeat.
That would be so fun.
But the entire time.
Yeah.
And I would probably, and I would recognize that I would be messing with something I ought not be messing with. And then, you know, here it is. You got these real uptight people who are like, oh, you know, what kind of example are you setting for your children? You're a minister. How can you say you would dabble in that? Because it's interesting,
yeah.
And I'm human,
yeah.
And yeah, it's interesting. Like, I would probably do it.
I get a lot of looks whenever people find out how much I research about serial killers, but it's so interesting.
But you're not trying to find out if you are one.
No,
you're fascinated by the macabreness, right, of it, like. This is how can someone do this type, right, deal? And that's, I don't know, the unknown, the scary. Some people like to be scared. They like scary movies. They like that rush of adrenaline. And man, I know it's evil. I'm sitting here telling you it is demons. It's evil. There is no good. But I would be the first one to go and check it out.
Do you like haunted houses, things like that?
Yeah, I do, and I shouldn't.
I think I'm at the age now where I don't care too much about going to a haunted house.
Not anymore, because they're too commercialized, yeah, and it's too cheesy now. But, you know, if one's done right,
yeah,
I'm sure Universal or Disney, you know, somewhere down there in Florida, they got something that's legit.
The
last time I went to a haunted house here in South Carolina, I was just like, really? Dude, how many times is someone going to come out with a chainsaw without a chainsaw blade on it?
Right.
Like, I already know what's going to happen. You, yeah, want to freak me out? Go over there and start playing with a Ouija board. Sell your soul to the devil. No, don't do that.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, horrible idea. But that's just, here's the deal, man. Like, that's something that makes me, you know? And this whole thing goes back to trying to put God in a box and trying to put Christianity in a box and saying that you can't be a real Christian if, you know, if you do this and if you do that and if you, man, we're human, you know? Me being interested in something like that is no different than, you know, the 500-pound preacher, minister,
yeah,
going to the buffet.
Yeah.
He knows he shouldn't be getting, you know, 7 pounds of crab legs, but he's doing it.
Yeah.
It's just like the, you know, a Christian who gets road rage. They know they ought not be doing it.
Yeah.
But they do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, get your eyes off me. Stop judging me. It's not your place to judge me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Stop judging people. Anyway, I'm gonna get off on a rant, and I don't need to do
that.
That's what we're here for. Yeah, so definitely, like, man, it's evil. Do not seek it out. Do not mess with it. Do not play with it. But I'm going to be the first one in line to do it.
How do you feel about, like, possession movies?
Dude, that is, ugh.
I can't do it, man. I always seem to have some type of weird experience after watching a movie.
I can't do it.
Now,
Lee loves any kind of anything yeah, scary, anything poltergeist, anything possession, yeah, exorcist, whatever. She'll watch it.
Yeah.
Right? It bothers the heck out. I'll sit in the room and watch it with her. But I'm so disturbed by it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's conviction or if that's just me just being disturbed by it. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't feel conviction when I watch those types of movies. But I always do have some type of weird, uneasy feeling after.
Like, you wake up at 3:15 in the morning.
Well, see, that's the thing. What movie was that? I think it was,
I can't remember.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah.
I remember watching that when it came out. And I think that's when it was like 3 o'clock, 3:15, something like that.
Lee and I both woke up at 3:15 after we watched it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I woke up, but how much of that
that's
was
a subconscious thing?
Your
that's,
internal clock yeah, telling man, you you're going to wake up at 3 o'clock.
Right, yeah, that's
I'll
your
mind.
I'll
probably wake up at 3 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, you probably
I talked about it.
I'll probably go to sleep at 3 o'clock tonight. But that's definitely your mind playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
And you listen, a demonic spirit, unless you are possessed, and possession is real.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, you know, that's in the Bible as well. Possession's real. Unless you're possessed, a demonic spirit is not going to control your actions and your bodies. Yeah. And if you're a believer, if the Holy Spirit dwells with inside of you, which he does once you become a Christian and start building this relationship with Christ, there's no room for him in there. Mm-hmm. There's no room for demonic spirits.
Yeah.
Let your guard down and do stupid things like me and watch these movies or watch these shows, and you set yourself up.
Yeah.
As I probably shouldn't do, but I do it, man. I do it. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I scare myself.
Yeah.
I don't go to the buffet. I don't, you know, have an anger problem on sports fields. I don't, you know, get angry driving that much.
That
you know?
Much.
Right. I'm not racist. I'm well, the I'm not a bigot.
The government taught you how to drive.
That's right.
So.
That's right. Trained. Trained, baby.
Well, I think that's pretty solid.
No, that wasn't half bad.
Yeah. I'd like to do something where we maybe talk to a few more people. If you've got a ghost story or something like that.
If you've seen your relative, how about that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good
because
one.
I want to talk to you and tell you that that is a demon and stop talking to them and stop making biscuits for them.
Making biscuits. Or like even, I've never seen...
Santa Claus?
No, I have seen Santa Claus.
Gotcha.
I have never seen like... a demon being cast out or anything like that. I know that we've got some friends who have.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it personally. I'm sure that's a really trippy experience.
Right.
So I'd like to have them on to talk about
it. I would like to view that from a safe distance.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just so that that demon would not come into me.
Right.
But that's, I mean, I'm interested in seeing that.
Right.
And
right.
I shouldn't be.
But at the same time, it's
right.
you don't want to go to YouTube and look up because
no, I'm not going to do that. Right. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to seek it out. Gosh, and this is a, you know, this just goes to us being raw and vulnerable on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that interests the crap out of me, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see that. Mm-hmm. But I know that I should not be seeing that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Oh, I like to look up creepypasta. And
nope.
Like the real dark stories on Reddit and like.
What's that real tall guy?
Slender Man. Yeah. They're coming out with a Slender Man movie.
And see, Lee would want to go see that.
Yeah.
And I'm a baby, man, in scary movies. Like, I cover my eyes. We watch the dumbest scary movie ever, Truth or Dare. Mm-hmm. Completely cheesy, campy, dumb, you know. But Lee won't watch it unless it's PG-13.
Yeah.
You know. And so it was PG-13, so we watched it. Mm-hmm. And cheesy, dumb. And it still scared the crap out of me. Like, there were parts where I physically made myself pick my phone up and check Facebook because I knew something scary was about to happen. And I loved it.
Yep. I love it, too. What's wrong with us?
A lot.
Yeah.
We're human, man.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, if you've got your ghost stories or maybe a story about something paranormal that happened to you or whatever it may be, let us know. And we'll touch on this subject again and get you in here.
Yeah.
We've got like a semi-legit recording thing going on right here.
Mm-hmm.
We've upgraded from the iPad
to actual recording equipment.
We have recording equipment, microphones,
interfaces, MacBooks. It's crazy.
So we're our little podcast that could.
I'm going to interject Go ahead. One last point here. Yeah. And you said it, I think, within the first 3 minutes. You said, if you believe in God, you believe in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And I'll close this out with this.
Okay.
If you believe in God, you also believe in extraterrestrial.
Ah, you can't deny it.
You believe in E.T. Yeah.
Let's just talk about that. Yeah, we need to do a whole Aliens episode.
Definitely. With McSwain.
With McSwain. Perfect.
Right.
Okay, we'll do that. What you listening to, Brian?
Well, I on the way over here, Kevin Jarvis asked us to listen to his song, and that's what I was listening to on the way over here.
We need to have Kevin on here.
Definitely.
Get talking to him.
Yeah. But cool. I was enjoying it. I've known Kevin mutually through Allie and Anne, and you know, we've had real slight interaction. He probably thinks I'm a douchebag because before anyone gets to know me, they think I'm a douchebag. Right. Because I just, you know, I look very stern and serious, and I just look like a douche. I have a resting douche face. But yeah, I mean, Kevin's a nice guy, and, you know, he's nice to my friends, but I've never listened to his music before.
He's in so many bands, too.
Right. Like, I've heard him live a few times doing some acoustic, and homeboy can pick a guitar like nobody's business. Oh, yeah. But I've never, like, gone and sought him out on the Spotify or whatever and listened to him. Listen, on the way over here, I have no complaints with what I was listening to.
Recorded right there in his backyard.
No complaints.
He's a excellent
productionist.
There you go. Couldn't think of the word. Farpoint. That's some good stuff.
Yep. Check him out on the Spotify.
On Spotify.
I enjoyed it.
We went to Warped Tour.
That's the last one, right?
Last one, baby. The last one that they're doing. So
I really expected bigger names to be there. If it were, the
I was
last
hoping
one.
They just didn't play a lot of.
I was expecting late '90s, early 2000 names.
Yeah, I was hoping they would do like some classic bands that got big from Warped Tour. But you know, there was a few. We saw. And I've learned in my old age, I told you this the other night, the heavy stuff, I still like to listen to it, but I do not like to be around it. Like, I do not want to go see those bands live. Like some of them, yeah, absolutely. But, like, Under Oath is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, like, some of these bands, you know, kids are moshing and
They're painted.
Painted. I could not believe that. Kids were out there in the blistering heat and the rain. With paint all over, like, I don't get it. But what I did enjoy was going, getting under that covering and watching the bands that were playing on stages beside each other. So you could just stay out of the sun and the weather. Ska is coming back and it excites me so much. So
why do you say it's coming back though?
I've looked it up and there are little ska bands that are starting to pop up. Everywhere, right? So that's gotten me back into like a real big fish kick. I've listened to Less Than Jake for years and years and years, but like I started listening to like Real Big Fish's greatest hits and things like that. We saw them while we were at Warped
Tour. Is it the Boss Tones?
Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That was they opened for Dave.
Ooh, I bet that
a few
cool.
times back in the late '90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. It's something about the trumpets and the horn section. It makes me happy.
Yeah, makes me happy.
It just makes me
so you
happy.
Think it's coming back? It's definitely coming back.
I think it's coming back.
We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens.
A new wave of ska coming back in the.
If it ends up on a Coke commercial, then it's coming back.
Yeah,
that's what I've noticed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for these Coke commercials then.
Right. Definitely.
So yeah, Real Big Fish. Check them out on everything. They've been around for decades. So.
I remember getting a cassette tape, a recorder's tape that, you know, back in the day, that's how we got live concerts.
Yeah.
So you would have guys who were buddies with the sound crew or buddies with the band. They would hook into the soundboard and then record the concert. It was called a recorder's tape.
Yeah.
And then they'd go out in the parking lots before big shows and sell them.
Yeah.
So I remember getting a recorder's tape of Real Big Fish.
Cool.
Yeah. $5.
Can't beat it.
Nope.
Well, guys, I think this is going to be the ending here of this episode. Thank you again for checking out the Not Religious Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, everything you can think of that I can think of, we're on. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Leave us a review and give us some song suggestions of your own that you think we should check out. Some topic suggestions.
No country music, please.
No country music. We're good. Before we head out, I'm going to close this out with a little review on the Facebook.
Oh.
From our good buddy, Andrew. I did have it up here.
Johansson.
There it is. Love Not Religious Podcast. I think it's fantastic how they discuss the topics that should be addressed, and they do it in a respectfully, tactically, and lovingly as Christ has called us to be. They are real, transparent, and do not sugarcoat anything discussed. I support this podcast 100%. Look forward to the weekly posts and can't wait to see how God is going to use this podcast. Love you guys. God bless.
Millions of lives changed by this podcast.
Wow.
Is basically what he just said.
Right. And that's if you didn't think so before, let's let Andrew tell you.
Right. He just told you.
He just told you. Amen. That young man is not going astray.
No.
His marriage has gotten better.
Right.
His relationship with his children.
He's having another kid because we strengthened his sperm by him listening to us. He is more vital than ever. So if you want to knock your wife up,
listen to the Not Religious Podcast.
Fertility, baby.
That's what we're all about here.
That's what we're all about.
We're about, you know, we've been called to go out and multiply. What better way to do it than start a podcast?
Make disciples.
Yeah,
you know, literally.
Make some babies listening to the Not Religious Podcast.
Right. All right.
Okay, we're good now. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful night.
Be nice to each other.